She has been sponsored by Linda and Mark Grunbaum and Ruth Hilary Rostovsky, memory of Judith Grunbaum, Yehudis Bas Yosef Halevi, Allah Shalom. November 19th. So we've been speaking the last several shiurim about the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, what the nature of the mitzvah is all about. Is it a mitzvah which is a mitzvah chiyuvis, a mitzvah kiyumis? Is it linked to a mitzvah chiyuvis baretz? Is it an independent mitzvah? The Chayin Yisrael leads us into a question that we just about we touched on at the very end of last week's shiur. We said that we would begin this week's shiur with, but we lead into this next topic, a later topic. And that's as follows. Up until now, we've been talking about the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, so we usually associate living in Eretz Yisrael means there's a mamash to live there. It makes aliyah. Mamash goes, he's there to stay. What would that halacha be in the following case? A person is not going to be able to live in Eretz Yisrael, but he wants to go spend time in Eretz Yisrael. He wants to go spend the summer in Eretz Yisrael. He wants to spend a week in Eretz Yisrael. Some people want to go spend a day in Eretz Yisrael. He wants to visit Eretz Yisrael. Is that considered to be a mitzvah in and of itself or not? Is it a positive thing? Is it a wonderful thing? Yeah, of course it's a good thing. What we want to know, is that a formal mitzvah? So assuming that there is a formal mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, is that mitzvah fulfilled in any shape or form when one is just temporarily visiting Eretz Yisrael? So at first glance, this should really be a throwback to everything that we've been speaking about in the past several weeks, namely the fundamental question in the Rishonim as to, assuming there is this mitzvah living in Eretz Yisrael, what's it all about? What's the nature of the mitzvah? So we saw that there was some Rishonim, we had a Tosfos Ksubas that perhaps said it, some claim the Rambam says this, that the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael is really part of a greater mitzvah. It's part of the Trumas and Maisos and Shemitah and Bikurim and Matnasani and all the different mitzvahs, Hafliyas Ba'aretz, the agricultural mitzvahs, that you can do only in Eretz Yisrael. So that's basically what the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael is all about. It's a way, it's a chitimtza, it's a mechanism that the Torah tells us to fulfill those mitzvahs, so then you have to go to Eretz Yisrael. Like the Lashon HaGemara Masechet Sota, that's why Moshe wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael, primarily to fulfill the mitzvah of Hafliyas Ba'aretz. That was one take on the mitzvah of Ish of Eretz Yisrael. But the Ramban had an entirely different take. The Ramban presented the mitzvah as being a mitzvah of Tnei Hatzmah. It's a total separate independent mitzvah. So, l'chora, this issue whether visiting Eretz Yisrael is considered to be a mitzvah, it appears to me would depend on these two approaches. If you take the approach that the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael is mitzvah of Tnei Hatzmah oriented, so then any opportunity that arises to give you the chance to do the mitzvah of Tnei Hatzmah, even for a short amount of time, that's a wonderful thing. So if you go to Eretz Yisrael and you live there, so you'll have a chance for the next 50 years to perform Trumas and Maaseh. If you go to Eretz Yisrael for 6 months, so for the next 6 months you'll have a chance to perform Trumas and Maaseh. If you buy land, you'll have a chance to keep Shemitah, Bikurim, whatever different mitzvahs you'll have a chance to do. So one could argue that if the mitzvah is more mitzvah Tnei Hatzmah oriented, maybe we shouldn't distinguish between permanent living and temporary living. Just the very being in Eretz Yisrael performing mitzvahs, that in and of itself is a positive thing. But if you go to the root of the Ramban, that the nature of the mitzvah is a mitzvah in and of itself, what does that mean it's a mitzvah in and of itself? What is the nature, what's the essence of the mitzvah? So if you remember, when we first introduced the sugya already a couple of weeks ago, we quoted the Ramban and say for a mitzvah, so the Ramban tells us that there are two parts of the mitzvah. There's the mitzvah that applies to all of Klal Yisrael, and then there's the mitzvah that applies to each and every individual. So it's clear from the Ramban, what's the mitzvah that applies to Klal Yisrael? The mitzvah is to take over Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah is what the Ramban said, even if you conquer Eretz Yisrael, and then you leave it desolate, the Jewish people doesn't move in. They go and they move to Uganda. So that's a bitul mitzvah. So the Ramban says the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael is yishuv ha'aretz. Yishuv doesn't just mean to physically sit there. It means to inhabit the land. It means to take over the land. So not just to conquer it militarily, but to make it into a thriving, flourishing land. So l'chora, if that's the nature of the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvah amutalas al tzibor, that's basically the mitzvah mutalas al yachid v'yachid also. The mitzvah is not just to take a plane, to get off the plane, get back on the plane, again, and go back to America. That's not the mitzvah of yishuv ha'aretz. The mitzvah of yishuv ha'aretz is to take over the land, is to take residence there, to mamish, to establish things, to live a normal life there. That's considered to be the mitzvah of yishuv ha'aretz. So the Chora, according to the Ramban, who takes the understanding that the mitzvah of yishuv ha'aretz is a mitzvah in and of itself, has nothing to do with Trumas HaMaaseh. It's not an end to not a means to an end. It's an end in and of itself to take over Eretz Yisrael. That's considered to be the mitzvah. So the Chora, that mitzvah would only be performed if one does it in a permanent nature. But this shaila that we're raising, whether there is any inyan, whether there's any mitzvah whatsoever, in terms of at least temporarily visiting Eretz Yisrael, so there may be other makaras for this. There may be other issues that go into this question. So the first of my makaras for tonight which begins to touch upon this topic, is a statement in the Shulchan Aruch that appears in Aruch Chaim in Siman Reish Mem Ches If Dalet. So the Shulchan Aruch talks about a shaila that the particular details of the shaila aren't irrelevant for us right now, but there are important aspects of this halacha that with some of it we're going to extract now and others perhaps at another time. So Shulchan Aruch tells the following halacha. It's based on a Gemara Masechta Shabbos. Hayotzim b'shiyara b'midbar. The person has to travel in the desert, has to travel through with a caravan in the desert. V'hakol yodim shem tzrichim l'chal Shabbos. And everybody realizes that when you go in a caravan in the desert, that will inevitably lead to chilul Shabbos. Ki v'pnei ha-sakona lo yuchlu la'akib b'midbar b'shabbos l'vadam. Means you're going with a caravan, unless you're going with a from Shabbos Shabbos caravan, so then the non-Jews you're traveling with, they're not going to hang around and wait for you, they're not going to set up camp for Shabbos, they're going to continue going. So you're going to have to stay behind by yourself in the middle of the desert. You're not going to have anyone to help you out. That's mamash b'kuach nefesh. So it's understood that any time a person is going to go in such a caravan before Shabbos, he will be asking for trouble. He's asking for a situation of chilul Shabbos. So are you permitted to do that or not? Are you permitted to set yourself up for a situation that quite possibly will result in chilul Shabbos? One can already begin to sense this is quite a serious question. This is, goes way beyond caravans and desert traveling. But this is the ramifications for many, many people today in a lot of different scenarios. We're going to try just to stick to this case. So the Shulchan Aruch tells us, what's that, Lacha? So, Gimel Yom Kodem Shabbos Asur, let's say, that if a person wants to know on Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, is he permitted to go on such a caravan? The answer is he's not permitted to. However, V'yom Rishon V'sheni V'shlishim with the let's say, but on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, he's permitted. My high. So the Gemara in Shabbos explains that for the first 3 days of the week, I'm not mechuyav to think about Shabbos. It's the end of where Shabbos still. So you say the little lechud ranan on Wednesday, Shishu Yom, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday are still part of the previous week. I don't have to make cheshbonos in terms of Shabbos. When it comes Wednesday, then I gotta start making calculations. Then I can't start doing things that are going to get me into trouble in terms of Shabbos. It's like Moshul Mad Avedomer, Pesach, that you have to start to prepare for Pesach 30 days before Pesach. So 30 days before Pesach, you have to start to be careful and smart and not put chametz in all kinds of strange places. Whereas now, it's holding a little November, so a person, I mean, your wife may scream, you don't put the chametz there because it's going to be a ruler of Pesach. But that's a chumah b'yama. Means Meikra did it 6 months before Pesach, you're not mechuyav to worry about Pesach yet. So the same thing over here, on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, you're not mechuyav, you're not obligated to worry about Shabbos. When Shabbos comes, we'll deal with it. But Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, it's already so close to Shabbos, so then you have to make calculations, and you have to make your plans accordingly. So therefore, the halacha says that you would not be permitted to go on such a trip at the end of the week. Beginning of the week, you would be permitted to do so. And then, what happens if a person daka plans the trip, he goes on Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday, and now Shabbos comes and he's daka stuck in the desert, so and if the situation arises that he has to be mechal Shabbos, so be it. So he's mechal Shabbos, it's pikuach nefesh, so it's mutter. But now the Shulchan Aruch qualifies us and says, what if the person is taking a trip through the desert in order to get to Eretz Yisrael? He's going from Iraq. He's trying to get from Iraq to Eretz Yisrael, from Babel to Eretz Yisrael. So he's going through the desert. So then the halacha is, in the Zamlin of Shiyara, feel the Erev Shabbos. Even if he gets a caravan to go Friday afternoon, he should go right away. Came into the Bar Mitzvah, who Yochel Lefrosh. So since he's involved in doing a mitzvah, so he doesn't have to be concerned with potential Chilul Shabbos. Because again, any Chilul Shabbos that's going to take place is going to be B'makom Pikuach Nefesh. He's not going to be Mechal Shabbos for non-Pikuach Nefesh purposes. The question is, does he have a right to put himself in a situation that is going to be faced with a situation of Pikuach Nefesh? So normally you're not allowed to do that. Normally Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, you're not allowed to make that calculation. But B'makom Mitzvah to go to Eretz Yisrael, that you're permitted to do so. And you have to try to convince the Goyim to stop you if you can. You try to pay them off if you can. But Lamaise, if you can't, you can't. You're stuck. So the Shulchan Aruch paskens that b'makom the mitzvah of going to Eretz Yisrael, one would be permitted to actually do something that would otherwise be prohibited by the halacha, because going to Eretz Yisrael is considered to be a mitzvah. So the Magen Avraham, in the second of the Mamakamas, the Magen Avraham on that did in Shulchan Aruch in Erechaim in Siman Reish Mem Ches Sif Dalet. So the Magen Avraham in Shifkot and Tesvav says, "Ba'oil Eretz Yisrael, what constitutes going to Eretz Yisrael for these purposes?" The Dafkal Daslis Yashik, says the Magen Avraham. If you're going to move there, you're going to live there, that's called the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and that has the ability to override this iser of poor planning for Shabbos. The Yeshom, says the Magen Avraham, those Achrenim will say, Afilo Manas Bahachzir, even if you're planning on returning, you're just going to visit Eretz Yisrael for a few days, came with the Afilo Mahalach Dal Amas Eretz Yisrael mitzvah. Says the Magen Avraham, just the mere walking in Eretz Yisrael for 4 amas, that's already considered to be a mitzvah. That's enough for a mitzvah to override this consideration of Shabbos. But again, the guy's not really going to be Mechal Shabbos because it's going to be Pikuach Nefesh, but it gives him a right to put himself into a situation that otherwise the halacha wouldn't permit in order to visit Eretz Yisrael. Not even to live there, just to visit Eretz Yisrael, because to walk down the Amos in Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah. So the Gemara says, doesn't exactly use the phrase walking down Amos is a mitzvah. The Gemara uses the phrase that if a person walks down Amos in Eretz Yisrael, so he's muptech lo shehu ben olam haba. Just a mere walking in Eretz Yisrael, but that's going to make him a ben olam haba. So this was a Gemara that people used to sometimes quote or misquote. The Gemara says, the person anyone who walks in Eretz Yisrael is a ben olam haba. So they once the Eshel Bochon Wasserman about this Gemara, they said to him, does it really mean what it says? That a guy can mamish be a Mechal Shabbos, and he could be violate all these sins of the Torah, but one time in his life he took a trip to Eretz Yisrael, and he didn't even get out of the airport. He got off the plane, walked 4 hours, and walked back on the same plane. So are you talking that that's considered to be such an unbelievable mitzvah? So Rabbi Chanan said that, look, you have to take this Gemara in the context of what other things he does. I mean, the stomach means that's a tremendous mile. It's a wonderful thing, but it's hard to believe that that's going to carry the day. That's going to make the person override all his averus. So says Rabbi Chanan, Mashlamat Avadoma, the Gemara says in the same breath, the Gemara says that if a person is mavdil on Motzei Shabbos, and makes Avdala on Motzei Shabbos, on wine that he left over from Kiddush. And if he didn't have that much wine for Shabbos, and he saves a little bit of wine for Havdalah, so the Gemara says, anyone who's careful and saves a little drop of wine for Havdalah, so Harei is a Ben Olam Haba. So the Bechonin says, well, let's say the guy's Mechal Shabbos. He's Mechal Shabbos the whole day Shabbos, and comes with Motzei Shabbos, so he goes in and he makes Havdalah. So he's all of a sudden a Ben Olam Haba, all of a sudden that overrides all the Chol Shabbos. So it's hard to believe that. So you have to understand these statements of Chazal when they say, a person does this one thing, the Ben Olam Haba, means he's going to get Tzchar, he's going to be rewarded. HaKadosh Baruch Hu reward him for everything. But it doesn't mean, Chalila, that a person could say, I'm walking in Eretz Yisrael, so therefore I don't have to keep all the other mitzvahs. The same way a person can't say, I'm going to make Abdullah, but I'll be Mechal Shabbos for the 24 hours beforehand. So you have to take these kinds of Gemaras in the proper context. So, but I'll call upon him, the Gemara does say it. The Gemara says that walking down Amos is a good thing, and the Magen Avraham quotes some who say that it's Mamash a mitzvah. It's such a mitzvah that it gives the person the right to even, quote-unquote, violate this din of Shabbos in order to enable him just merely to visit Eretz Yisrael. So, l'chora, this idea that the Magen Avraham is quoting there's a mitzvah to visit Eretz Yisrael, so the Magen Avraham is not saying the approach that we said. He's not saying that we, like we said, it's a mitzvah to visit Eretz Yisrael so that you'll do the mitzvah that pleases the Eretz. No, the Magen Avraham is saying more than that. He's saying there's a mitzvah to visit Eretz Yisrael because just the very essence of being in Eretz Yisrael is a good thing. The guy's not going to do any mitzvahs. You get the impression he's not going to be mafish shumas and mice. He's not going to buy a field and keep shemitah. He never got out of Ben Gurion Airport. He walks out of the plane. He walks back on again. Sure, he did a mitzvah of walking down Amos in Eretz Yisrael. So l'chora, this is a different twist on the shaila. We started out by asking, raising a question: is there a mitzvah to visit Eretz Yisrael? Every trip you go to Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah or not? So we said it depends on the Ramban and the other Rishon. According to the Ramban, it's not a mitzvah. According to the other Rishon, it is a mitzvah. So now we're saying, no, according to the Magen Avraham, it's a mitzvah for another reason, a totally different reason. Just the mere walking down Amos is considered to be a mitzvah. What does it mean? That's what the Magen Avraham says. It means you're in the presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu for those 2 seconds. That's a good thing. That's a positive thing. Just to be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu for 2 seconds is also good. The Gemara tells a story about there was a certain Amira who had to travel 6 months in order to get to the Beis Medrash. So he would travel 6 months. He would only have one day to stay in the Beis Medrash because he had to travel back home 6 months. So the Gemara says every year he would do that. He spent 6 months traveling to Beis Medrash, spent one day in the Beis Medrash, and 6 months, as we do his whole life. So the Gemara says he used to call him that's where the phrase came from, Barbe Rav Dechad Yoma. It means he was Yeshiva Baruch Hu one day of the year. So the Gemara says that was a great thing. That was a wonderful thing. If he's able to afford it, to be able to live in such a lifestyle, that's a wonderful thing. So you see that even though he didn't learn all that much, but just he was there for a little bit, even the smallest amount in the presence of a Kodesh Baruch was a good thing. So perhaps one could take an entirely different approach to this whole Eretz Yisrael picture in terms of the mile of being in Eretz Yisrael, that perhaps the mile of living in Eretz Yisrael or visiting Eretz Yisrael is not even so much a function of the mitzvah Tzlis Baruch. It's not even a function, like the Ramban says, of physically building up the land. And it's not even a function of the smuggling of Rome, just I'm walking around for a few feet and then walking back on the plane. Perhaps it's a whole different mahalach, a whole different idea behind the significance of being in Eretz Yisrael, which, as we'll see, if we develop this idea, may be true both for the person who lives there and for the person who visits there. So this sugi, really, this part of the sugi begins in the third of the Ramakamas, with a very famous Mishnah in Maseches Kedushin and Laf Lamed Vav Beis, we were just in Daf Yomi a couple of days ago. The Mishnah tells us, "Kamitzvos sheshituya ba'aretz, en lahegas ala ba'aretz." All the mitzvahs which are tuyas ba'aretz, so those mitzvahs which are agriculturally bound, shemitah, so nice, bikurim, etc., those mitzvahs only apply in Eretz Yisrael. Mishayin tuyas ba'aretz, where the mitzvahs which are not agriculturally bound, Shabbos, kashrus, etc., lahegas bein ba'aretz, bein b'chutzlaretz. They apply equally in Eretz Yisrael as well as in chutzlaretz. How does the Gemara know this distinction? So the Gemara explains, the Gemara quotes Pesukim in Parashas Re'eh, where the Torah says that you have to keep the mitzvahs wherever you are, kol ha-yamim ha-shatem chayim al-adama, whether you live in Eretz Yisrael, live in America, live in Europe, wherever you live, kol ha-yamim ha-shatem chayim al-adama, as long as you're on the land, you're in the earth, so you have to keep mitzvahs. And then the Torah immediately says, abei ta'abdu nuskoma, kol ha-shav d'sham ha-goyim. The first mitzvah the Torah says you have to keep is the mitzvah of destroying of Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara Masechet Kiddushin derives from this, that the mitzvah of the string of Adizara is the model of mitzvahs that you have to keep throughout the world. Just as Adizara has nothing to do with land, nothing to do with agriculture, it's a mitzvah she'enet li ba'aretz, it's a chayves haguf, so too all other chayves hagufs have to be performed bein ba'aretz, bein b'chutz la'aretz. So that's the given, that all mitzvahs which are not agriculturally based have to be performed throughout the world. The Gemara then goes through the details. So if that's true, why does the Torah have to spell out, you have to keep Shabbos wherever you live, Shabbos il Hashem b'chomosh v'seichem, and how come the Torah says you have to keep Shavuos v'chomosh v'seichem, and half a dozen places the Torah says you have to eat Matzah v'chomosh v'seichem? So the Gemara in Kiddushin goes through each one of those mitzvahs and explains why there would have been a havamina that this particular mitzvah doesn't apply in Chutz Laretz. But the starting point is, the basic premise of the whole halach is that mitzvahs which are chayves haguf apply equally in Eretz Yisrael as well as in Chutz Laretz. It's interesting, the Gemara derives this from the phrase, kol ha-yom she'atem chayim ala adama. Anytime you live on the adama, so you have to keep the mitzvahs. So the poskim 50 years ago, when travel to the moon started to become something of reality, 40 years ago, so the poskim discussed the shadow. What would the din be when they send the first tefurim astronaut up to the moon? So will he be mechuyev to observe mitzvahs or not? So some of the poskim wrote that, no, he doesn't have to keep mitzvahs. You don't have to keep mitzvahs on the moon. You know why? Because the Torah says you have to keep mitzvahs al ha'adama. Kol ha'yom she'atem chayim al adama. If you're not in the adama, then you're not mechuyev in mitzvahs. You know, strange concept. And when you're flying in the air, you're also not in the adama. You have to keep mitzvahs on the plane. It's a new cooler. You could up and down on the plane because you're not al adama. So it's hard to understand that. The stomach of the Gemara doesn't mean that phrase al adama. So literally, it just means that the whole world, wherever you are, it doesn't matter. The whole universe, that's what adama means. It doesn't mean literally on the ground. Right, he did all the mitzvahs, whatever it is. Anyway, so some achronim write that the mitzvah of Tluyas B'Zman you don't have to keep as an astronaut, because how can you talk about Shabbos, how can you talk about Kriyashma, it doesn't make any sense, there's no Zman, the whole Zman concept only exists on the earth. So okay, that's a different suggestion, but those achronim who said they don't do any mitzvahs at all on the moon, so that's very hard to understand. A quote from Rav Goren, that Rav Goren said after the man landed on the moon, so he said he thought that we should change the nusach of Kiddush Levana, because he shouldn't say anymore V'eini Yochel in Gorbach. It's not true. So he should say V'eini no Gorbach. I'm not touching you. You can't say any Yochel in Gorbach. And the other person said that it's Eini Yochel, because NASA's not sending you up to the moon so fast. So for you, it's also Eini Yochel in Gorbach. So for Armstrong, maybe he has to say Eini no Gerbach. But for you, you have to say Eini Yochel in Gerbach. Anyway, I'm going to still keep the Nusach the same. Anyway, get back to the story. So the Mishnah says that the mitzvahs are Tluyas Ba'aretz are only performed in Eretz Yisrael, and the Eini Tluyas Ba'aretz are performed throughout the world. So there is a famous comment of the Ramban, where the Ramban writes this in a few different places in Chumash, where the Ramban tells us that even though it's true that L'maisa we have to put on tefillin in Chutzot, and L'maisa we have to keep Shabbos in Chutzot, and L'maisa we have to say Kriyas Shema in Chutzot, that's all true, but the nature of the mitzvah in Chutzot is different than the nature of the mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban seems to write that the basic chiyuv, the absolute chiyuv of mitzvahs, is really in Eretz Yisrael. That's the Ramban writes. That's the Makom Hashem. That's where Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence is. That's what we're supposed to do. The Torah mitzvahs, the Ika mitzvahs, is the Makom Eretz Yisrael. Hello, what? Kadosh Baruch Hu said to us, if you happen to find yourself never in Chutz Laretz, so you should continue to do mitzvahs in Chutz Laretz. Those mitzvahs which are mitzvahs aguf, you should continue to do mitzvahs to keep you going, to train you, to make sure that when you come back to Eretz Yisrael, you'll be able to continue to do mitzvahs properly. It doesn't mean that we're not mechuyev in Chutz Laretz. It doesn't mean that it's only midrabban in Chutz Laretz. Of course it's midaraisa. There's no question about that. Avada with mechuyev midat Torah and Shabbos and Kashrus and kriyashman tefillin and sittas. Avada and avada with mechuyev and all those mitzvahs. But the ikaron, the nature of that chiyuv is a little bit different than the chiyuv in Eretz Yisrael. Even in Eretz Yisrael, The chiyuv in Eretz Yisrael is a chiyuv b'fnei atzma, whereas the chiyuv in Chutz La'aretz is just a mere preparation for the ultimate performance of the mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael. I remember I was once saying over this nekuda in a shiur, and somebody said to me, "So what you mean to say is that according to the Ramban, mitzvahs in Chutz La'aretz are only midrabbanan?" I said, "I didn't mean to say that." I said, "The Ramban for sure didn't say that. You take a look at the Ramban, no one in a million years would say such a thing." So he thought that's what I meant to say. So I just want to make sure that no one walks away without mistake. So I didn't mean to say that. So it's a bit midaraisa, but the nature of the mitzvah is a little bit different. Is there enough communal adina? Does it really matter whether it's the nature of the mitzvah is one way, the mitzvah is the nature of the mitzvah is the other way? At the end of the day, it's the same tefillin. At the end of the day, you got to keep the same Shabbos, whether you're in Eretz or Chutz La'aretz. So my nafkamina, whether it's b'taras achana, whether it's b'taras mitzvah b'fnei atzma. So I thought that there may be a possible nafkamina. If the Ramban really meant this lahalacha, what he suggests, so maybe we'd have the following interesting nafkamina ladina. This is a very common shalom. Person takes an afternoon flight. You can fill me in on the times. The person takes an afternoon flight to Eretz Yisrael, so it's going to land early in the morning in Eretz Yisrael time. So the question is, when should I daven? So putting aside all the other issues of davening and planes and minyan and everything else, so should I daven now? It's 5 o'clock in the morning. Flight outside, should I daven now when the plane is flying over the Mediterranean? Or should I wait till 8 o'clock in the morning if it'll daven in the airport sitting in Eretz Yisrael? So is there any maila to daven in Eretz Yisrael? Is there any maila to put on tefillin in Eretz Yisrael? So maybe one could argue based on the Ramban, if Nebuch is stuck in Chutz La'aretz, you live in Chutz La'aretz, what are you going to do? So I have to put on tefillin in Chutz La'aretz, and you got to daven in Chutz La'aretz, say Kriyat Shema Chutz La'aretz, what am I going to do? But if I have an option, if I know in an hour from now, I'll be able to fulfill the real mitzvah, the real makoy, the mitzvah b'shleimusa, to daven in Eretz Yisrael, to put on tefillin in Eretz Yisrael, say Kriyat Shema itself, say Birch Satan itself. Why should I say it now? Why should I say the lower kiyum? Why should I say the lesser mitzvah now in Chutz La'aretz? I'm flying over Cyprus, but there's no mitzvah, there's the regular mitzvah. Cyprus is the same as Dina. So why should I daven now over the Mediterranean if I can just wait a little bit and I'll mamash make it to Eretz Yisrael proper? So if one understands the Ramban al-Pi Halacha, the Ramban really meant honestly that there's a greater kiyum al-Pi Din of a mitzvah done in Eretz Yisrael, so that would potentially have ramifications in these types of shilas. Making noises.
Right.
So then you have, we'd have the hierarchy of mitzvahs. Reasonable mitzvahs, you know, you have all those kinds of facets that would go into the equation also. But according to the Ramban, again, the Ramban is not clear whether the Ramban really meant this for halacha. The Ramban just developed this idea in his parish in Chumash. But maybe one could extrapolate from this Ramban lahalacha, perhaps. What was the context that the Ramban said this yisod, that mitzvahs are primarily for Eretz Yisrael? So the Ramban said it in his parish, he says it in a few places, but the first place is in his parish in Chumash, in the fifth of the Ramakamas. The Ramban in Sefer Bereishis, in Perek Chavav, Pasukei, in next week's parashas Toldos, the Ramban writes that, commenting on the Mishnah in the end of Kiddushin, the Mishnah says, I skipped the Ramakam, the fourth of the Ramakamas, the Mishnah in Kiddushin, Pei Beizim and Aleph, Mishnah says, Matzinu she'asa Avraham Avinu eskola terekula atzlo nitna. That Avraham Avinu observed all the mitzvahs even before they were given. Shenamar, Eikiv eshesham Avraham b'koli, v'yishmo mishmati mitzvosai chukosai v'terosai. So Chazal understood this pasuk to mean that chukosai v'sorosai, it means all the teres Hashem, means including all the tayag mitzvahs, Avraham Avinu kept, he figured it out Ruach HaKodesh even before it was actually given to Klal Yisrael. So the Ramban interprets this to mean in the fifth of the Ramakamas, the Ramban, it would appear that what Chazal understood is as follows. Shalomad Avraham Avinu at Torah Kula Baruch HaKodesh, that Avraham Avinu learned Kula Torah Kula and Baruch HaKodesh, the Osigba of Atamei HaMitzvah Sefer Shadusel, that he delved into the reasons of the mitzvahs and the secrets of the mitzvahs, the Shamrosah Kula Kamisha Enimitzvah Viyosha. He observed the mitzvahs of Torah like someone who's not obligated. The same way we have a principle today that if a woman sits in a sukkah, a woman shakes a lulav, so that's a mitzvah of Eina Mitzvah V'yah. He says she's not obligated to do it, but if she does it, that's a positive thing. We possibly should even make a bracha on it. So too, the kima. It's a good thing, it's a positive thing. So the Ramban says that's the same status that the others had, that Avraham Avinu had Kodem Matan Torah. He wasn't a mitzvah of the Yisrael. It was before Matan Torah. There wasn't Vayda B'Shem Moshelem Mitzavos B'nei Yisrael yet, but it was a positive thing and it was a kiyum. However, the Ramban qualifies that and says, Ushmiroso Oso Hoya Be'aretz Bulvad. But he thinks that that Avraham Avinu only observed the mitzvah of Torah as an Eina Mitzvah V'Yosa only when he lived in Eretz Yisrael. And presumably, if Avram did it that way, Yitzchak never left Eretz Yisrael, but Yaakov also, when he left Eretz Yisrael, didn't observe the mitzvah Torah anymore. Yaakov b'chutzlot smelso achayos. And he says, and that's why Yaakov marries Rachel and Leah outside of Eretz Yisrael, just to answer the age-old question, how Yaakov can marry two sisters. If the others volunteer to keep the mitzvah to form on Torah, how can he marry two sisters? So the Ramban then repeats this Yisrael, and when later on he explains, that's why he thinks that Rachel died when she died. That she died, obviously, Ot Kivas Eretz Tavor for us as they're entering into Eretz Yisrael. So that's when Rachel Imeinu dies. So the Ramban writes, he thinks that was because it would have been inconceivable that Yaakov should have remained married to both of them, and Leah was not the first one we married. It was a mistake. But Lamaisa, she was the one who came first, and therefore Rachel could no longer remain alive. That's when the Ramban sizes up what happened, why Rachel's death took place exactly when it did. So the Ramban says that this was true by other people as well, and Amram, that Amram married his aunt because it was in Chutzbaret, ki amitzvos bishpet elokei aretein. So he says, because the mitzvahs are primarily to be done in Eretz Yisrael, even though the Gemara in Kedushin, the Mishnah in Kedushin we just mentioned, says that lemaisa you have to keep mitzvahs throughout the world, but that's not the ikar makom mitzvahs. That's a secondary kiyum. That's a lower level of kiyum. That's b'teres achrona. So the Ramban suggests that even though we post Matan Torah, we have to observe mitzvahs, obviously, even in Chutz La'aretz. But Kodimat and Torah, when there was no chiv in the first place, it was only the Torah's Enim and Tzuviv Yosu in the first place, so they only volunteered to keep the mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael. That was the Ikar Makamah mitzvahs. In Chutz La'aretz, then there was apparently no Inyan to volunteer to keep any mitzvahs whatsoever. So again, it's hard to know from this Ramban, does this have any application of Bizman Hazeh? Bizman Hazeh were post Matan Torah. But at least in the world of pre Matan Torah, so the Ramban conceived of this idea that we can distinguish between Eretz Yisrael, where it's a good thing to volunteer mitzvahs, where in Chutz La'aretz there's really no need to volunteer mitzvahs that you're not obligated in. If we accept this idea of the Ramban, that even post-Matan Torah, there's a concept that a mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael is on a higher level than a mitzvah in Chutz La'aretz, so maybe that could shed a whole new light on the issue of living in Eretz Yisrael and visiting Eretz Yisrael. So we're trying to understand, what's the mitzvah exactly being in Eretz Yisrael? So is it a mitzvah because it enables you to do the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael? Maybe. That's what some Rishonim said. Is it a mitzvah because the stam to inhabit the land, to take over the land, to cultivate the land? Is that the mitzvah? That's what the Ramban himself seems to say in Sefer Mitzvahs. Is it a mitzvah because just walking in Eretz Yisrael is a good thing, even though you accomplish nothing and off the plane and on the plane again? That's what the Magen Avraham quoted Rechavanim will say. So perhaps based on the Ramban in Chumash, we can suggest a new idea. That the reason why living in Eretz Yisrael is so wonderful, or at least one dimension is every mitzvah you do is a different kind of a mitzvah. It means when you live in Chutz La'aretz, so your tefillin is not the same as when you live in Eretz Yisrael, your Shabbos is not the same as when you live in Eretz Yisrael. If that's true, then l'chora there's no difference between visiting and living. It means if a person is visiting Eretz Yisrael, so every Shabbos that he keeps, whether he's a tourist or whether he's a, he's getting a greater kiyum mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that's done in Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't matter whether I live in Eretz Yisrael or not. What matters is the mitzvah that I'm doing in Eretz Yisrael. That's a higher level of a mitzvah. So that would be a real mechayim. That should cause a person to make a lot of din mechizbanos. That even if a person, for whatever reason, whether justified or unjustified, is not living in Eretz Yisrael, so it doesn't exempt them from trying to be there as much as you can, whenever you can, any opportunity a person has. So a person should try to take whatever opportunities to visit Eretz Yisrael, because each mitzvah that he chaps when he's in Eretz Yisrael, that's a wonderful thing. That's a greater level of a mitzvah. This idea that the Ramban develops for us, that the reason why Yaakov married two sisters was because it was Dafka and Chutz La'aretz. So it's interesting to note that this Ramban has to be understood in light of another Ramban in his Perish and Chumash. There is a comment from the Brisker Rav, that the Brisker Rav suggested that he didn't really understand the Ramban's kasha in the first place. The Ramban was bothered with the same as kasha. How did Yaakov marry two sisters? Gevalt, the Torah says you're not allowed to marry two sisters. So the Brisker Rav says he doesn't understand the Kushim Yekara Leisa. The Torah says you're not allowed to marry two sisters. So marriage is presupposing the existence of Kedushas Yisrael. Non-Jews don't have Kedusha. Non-Jews marry somebody. So a non-Jew has Ishus, a non-Jew has other relationship with husband and wife. But it's not a relationship of Kedusha. Haraya, the halacha is that when non-Jews want to get divorced, they don't require a get. There are 2 days in the Rishalmi. How non-Jews separate from one another. One day in the Rishalmi says that the halacha requires them, the mitzvah ben Noach requires of them that they separate, but they, let's say if a couple's married and now they decide they don't want to remain married anymore, so Hucha Shev mitzvah ben Noach says they can just walk away from each other. They say, see you, that's it, finished, goodbye, he leaves, she leaves. That's considered to be a gerushin in the realm of Shem Mitzvah Bnei Noach. And the other day in the Yerushalmi says, no, there's no such thing as gerushin. to share the mitzvahs bnei noach. Once they're married, as it says, till death do they part. So it means the mamish there forever and ever. There's no way for them ever to get divorced. So it's interesting, the opinion of the Catholic Church that it doesn't sanction divorce, so that's based on the Rishami. That's, I don't know whether they had in mind the Rishami. That's one day in the Rishami. So anyway, getting back to the story. But Kedusha, for sure, they don't have. The concept of Kedusha and Gerusha, what we call Ishus Yisrael, that for sure doesn't exist for non-Jews. That's why, in fact, under the Chuppah, we say, Asher Kedushanu Mitzvah, Mitzvah, Arayas, that Aram, Mekadosh, Amo Yisrael, and the Chuppah of Kedusha, because the concept of the Chuppah of Kedusha was a special gift that was given to Klal Yisrael. So the Biskarab says, when did that gift begin? When did that concept of Kedusha begin? So that began at the time of Matan Torah. Before Matan Torah, there was no such thing as Kedusha. That's like the Ram, the Yisrael of Isha, seems to say. Called the Matan Torah, Adam Pagea, Isha, Bishuk, or Baal, there was no such thing. The concept of a halachic marriage of Kedusha didn't exist until Kedusha Yisrael was endowed upon us. So the Biskarab says, the Isra of marrying Achas Ishta was only when she's Achas Ishta. Let's say if a person is Mizana with a woman, and then he goes in and is Mizana with her sister. So that's not Achas Ishto. It's not a good thing. It's an affair of Nus, but it's not Achas Ishto. Achas Ishto is only when she was halachically your wife. So the Biskarab says he doesn't understand what the kasha was. Yaakov wasn't married to Rachel, he wasn't married to Leah. They were living as Bnei Noach. They didn't have Kedushas Yisrael yet. They were living as Bnei Noach. So it was Bnei Noach. There was no issue of Achas Ishto. So what did the Ramban think? How come the Ramban didn't realize that? How come the Ramban was bothered with the kasha? The Ramban came up with this whole razzle-dazzle Yisrael. That Eretz Yisrael is different from Chutzor, it's enemies of else, etc. So the answer is the Ramban has to be understood in light of another Ramban. The Ramban is the last in my Mekomis. In Vayikra, Perech of Dal, Pasuk Yud, in the end of Pasuk Emor, where the Torah describes the Makala, that person who curses HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it's unclear exactly what his status was. Was this individual Jewish? Was he not Jewish? So the Torah says that his father was non-Jewish, father was an Egyptian, and his mother was Jewish. His mother Shlomo was Mazivri. So what was he? Was he Jewish or was he not Jewish? So the Ramban quotes from the Balei HaTosfos that he was halachically not Jewish. Why was he halachically not Jewish? And his mother was Jewish. So the Sarfatim Omrim, the Sarfatim of the Balei HaTosfos, the Rabbanim from France said, Kitama Geirus Reshaya called the Matan Torah, that this person was born before Matan Torah. V'haya Mishpat Olech Achra Zohar. But called the Matan Torah, so you follow the male, like the Moshe is a halacha by non-Jews. Let's say if you want to know whether a person is from Ammon or Moab or Amalek or from Canaan, there are different halachas which govern different nations. How do you know whether somebody belongs to which nation? Let's say there's an intermarriage between two nations. So someone from Amalek marries someone from Moab. Is the child an Amalekite? Is the child a Moabi? So the Gemara says that Mishpatu Lelech Achra Zachar, Mimasha Amru Be'umas Alech Achra Zachar. The Gemara in Yevamos learns that from a pasuk that to determine non-Jewish yichus, you always follow the father. So says the Ramban, the name of the Balei HaTosfos, that halacha that you follow the father, that existed prior to Matan Torah for us as well. Because before Matan Torah, the Avos were not really Jewish. Kedushas Yisrael didn't exist. The halacha that we have, that the Mishnah says in Kedushin, that we follow the mother to determine who's Jewish, that halacha was Nischatcha post-Matan Torah. That was given to Kleisel at the time of Matan Torah, that you follow the mother. But Kodim Matan Torah, we were Goyim, like everybody else. So we follow the father to determine nationality. So therefore the Ramban says, so this guy who was born, he was Mamshigoy. He was born as a Mitzri. His father was a Mitzri. I don't care what his mother was. His father was a Mitzri, so he was non-Jewish. So the Ramban says he doesn't buy into this whole idea of the Balei HaTosfos. Says the Ramban, it's not true. When did Klal Yisrael come into existence? Who was the first Jew? Who was the first person with Kedushas Yisrael? Amram Avinu had Kedushas Yisrael. At Maamad Har Sinai, there were additional mitzvahs that were given to Klal Yisrael. That is true. But Amram Avinu was already had Kedushas Yisrael to him. Yitzchak and Yaakov had Kedushas Yisrael to them. And at the moment that Amram Avinu was Niskadesh, he entered into a bris with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's unclear whether he means the bris of bris ben Absalom, the bris of the Mila. It's not a couple of year difference, whatever. But the bris, whatever bris we're talking about, when Avraham Avinu entered into a bris with a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's when Kedushas Yisrael began, and that's when the halacha began to follow the mother. That the chain of Jewishness from Avraham Avinu did not go through the father, rather it went through the mother. So therefore the Ramban says, this guy who was born, this Makal who was born, he was a born Jew. His mother was Jewish. So it doesn't matter what his father was. You follow the mother, you don't follow the father. So a strange machlokes takes in the Ramban. Now, when exactly did this halacha of matrilineal descent, when did that halacha kick in Klal Yisrael? So according to the Ramban, himself, it started already in the days of Avraham Avinu, according to the Balei Tosfos, it started in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. Everyone agrees it started early. It didn't start 20 years ago. It started a long time ago. The fact that you followed the mother. Just a technical question. There's a couple hundred years between Avraham Avinu and Moshe Rabbeinu. How were they paskening? So the Ramban is clear that Kedushas Yisrael did begin already at the time of the Avos. So l'chari, the Ramban is l'shitasai. Well, he didn't go the route of the Briskerov. The Biskarov screamed at the Ramban and said, why? What are you giving a terrorist about Eretz Yisrael and Chutzlaret? Why don't you just say there's no Achas Yishtuk because there's no Kiddushin? The answer is the Ramban says there was Kiddushin. The Ramban says when Yitzchak marries Rivka in this week's Pasha, it was Kiddushin. It was Mekadosh Amo Yisrael and Chutzlaret with the Kiddushin. It was the same Kiddushin that we have today. Whatever the details of that, Lochis, Kesef, Shtar, Shaliach, Edom, Brachas, you work out the details. But Atzmus, the basic cloud, this was an act of Kiddushin, that when the Avos got married, they get married B'Toras Kiddushin, not B'Toras B'nei Noach. They were no longer B'nei Noach. They were already Nichnas V'Tachas Kan V'Shchina. So that's the Shittas of the Ramban. That's why the Ramban was bothered with the Kasher in Parshas Toldos. So Tach happened, Yaakov married two sisters. That's where he had to come up with the whole Shtukul Torah that it was in Chutzpah. So at the end of the day, the Ramban said it. The Ramban said, as you said, he was forced, based on the Ramban in Parshas Emor, into his Yisod. The Ramban holds mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael are fundamentally different from Chutzpah, which could potentially be a reason to encourage people, even if you're not going to live in Eretz Yisrael, to at least visit Eretz Yisrael. The more mitzvahs you do in Eretz Yisrael, the better, the greater kiyum mitzvah there is. So at Kol Panim, we have really a lot of different ways of viewing this mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. We could view it through the eyes of the Ramban himself from Sefer Mitzvahs, that it's fundamentally a yeshiva art. It's fundamentally to cultivate the land, to settle the land, to inhabit the land, to create a functioning land and country in Eretz Yisrael. That's one mahalach of the mitzvah. Then you have the second mahalach, which is very, very limited in the sense of it's a way to get you to do mitzvah tluyis baretz. That was the Rebbeinu Chaim Cohen from Tosfos Ksubis and maybe the Rambam. Then you had a third mahalach was based on those acharonim in the Magen Avraham, that it's a mitzvah because fun to be there, just to be there for no other reason, to be there for a second, that's it, whether you do mitzvahs, not do mitzvahs, doesn't matter, just to be there as mahalach darad amas is considered to be a mitzvah in of itself. And the fourth mahalach is based on Aaron's extrapolation of this Ramban, that it's a mitzvah because it enhances other mitzvahs, because it takes the otherwise mitzvah, which are not fully sparet, and gives them a greater kiyum. Whether that has ramifications, halach, but the guy's flying there, it's always a different story. But the very essence of doing mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael is a good thing. So I hope, Father, we seem to have four different twists, four different nuances as to what this nature of the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael is all about. Hopefully, Mitzvah next week, we'll talk about continuing other aspects of Eretz Yisrael. So hopefully next week, Mitzvah, we'll have the Shira. People will be around, usually. Okay. Night before Thanksgiving, we'll go to the parade. Okay, good. Regular Shira.
Hello.
Okay.
Friday morning, you want to listen?